Les colloques du Collège de France.
It's my pleasure to introduce Catherine Losada. Bon, je peux faire en français. Catherine Losada est professeure à l'université de Cincinnati. C'est une théoricienne de la musique au sens américain de music theorist. Donc, on aurait envie de dire une analyste ici. Elle a de nombreux travaux sur la musique du XXe siècle et tout particulièrement sur Pierre Boulez. Elle a participé à plusieurs des ouvrages collectifs importants sur Boulez et sur le sérialisme. À l'occasion de ce colloque, en échangeant avec elle, elle a proposé de s'attaquer à Répond et donc de proposer un regard renouvelé sur les opérations compositionnelles de Répond et notamment la figure de la spirale dans sa construction à la fois harmonique et formelle. Donc je la remercie de nous présenter ce nouveau travail et the floor is yours.
Written to showcase the technological potential of IRCAM, Pierre Boulez's Répond was considered a work in progress at the time of the composer's death in 2016. In a 1985 interview with Joseph Heusler, Boulez mentioned that the most important development in this piece, with respect to his earlier works, was how he was able to incorporate electronics without constraining the energy caused by the unpredictability of live performance. This was one of the most striking and influential aspects of this work's reception. It was partly achieved by harnessing technology that permitted capturing sounds during live performance and transforming them both in real time and according to their inner structure. This aspect of the work, illustrated in the stunning first entrance of the soloist, has received quite a bit of attention in the literature. Building on Boulez's and Gerzo's commentary, existing associated scholarship on this work, for this reason, has tended to focus on the five chords that generate the section as well as the opening of the piece. Importantly, however, in the interview with Heusler, Boulez invokes the take part from the fourth and final section of the first version of this work as an important element in achieving his goal of combining electronics and live performance. He describes it as a type of background where all pitches are fixed to one chord. He also stresses the importance of the spiral to the overall conception of the work. On the aesthetic level, the spiral clearly illustrates the idea of a constantly evolving, unfinished work. But Boulez's explanation of how it applies concretely to the musical materials is somewhat vague. He says, "Répond is a set of variations in which the material is arranged in such a way that it revolves around itself." Excuse me. In this paper, I will show the exact means through which the tape and orchestral parts in Répond achieve a background pitch organization. Along the way, this discussion would also reveal how the model of a spiral is essential to the conception of this piece beyond the aesthetic level in two ways. One at a technical pitch generation level, the other at a larger formal level. Ultimately, I will discuss how the compositional approach of this landmark work builds on aesthetic concepts Boulez started to develop in the late 1950s. In this way, I will elucidate interesting aspects of the harmonic structure of the piece, its overall form, and their relationship to Boulez's broader aesthetic outlook and stylistic development. As example one shows, the third version of this piece consists of an introduction, eight sections, and a coda. An early version from 1981 ended after section four. My paper will comment on the evolving quality of Boulez's works by examining the relationship between section four and the immediately ensuing section added in the following version from 1982. These appear in bold in the example. In what follows, I will first describe the materials and harmonic content of these two sections and then show how they relate to one another at a larger formal level. The material for both sections is based on a chord that presents the Sacher hexagram in the precise registral disposition shown in example two. Common to many of Boulez's later works, the use of this hexagram constitutes an homage to his benefactor, Paul Sucker. Although several sources note the importance of this chord, which appears at several points in the piece, none explain clearly how the other material relates to it or its precise function. But I do have to note an exception. I just encountered the most recent book of Peter O'Hagan, and he discusses this. So there's a little bit of overlap between what Peter presents and what I'm presenting here. Boulez uses this chord as a basis for a fascinating technique that is related to but distinct from techniques he used previously in his career, a spiral-like adaptation of a rotational array. Through this technique, he generates two arrays, which are shown in example three. The two arrays are separated by a bar line in the sketch. As we shall see, both originate from the first chord, labeled A, which is the Sucker chord. These arrays provide the orchestral material as well as the material for the superimposed tape part, which Boulez calls the wallpaper for section four. To illustrate this, I will start by discussing the structure and properties of the arrays. The first array, transcribed in example four, consists of the first six chords of example three. It is a spiral-like adaptation of a rotational array, through which Boulez composes out the Sucker chord. The spiraling process results from precise pitch space considerations emphasized by the fixed boundary pitches and the arrows on the sketch, as I will explain in what follows. As mentioned previously, the first chord is a straightforward registral setting of the Sucker hexagram. The registral organization is a key aspect, as are the boundary notes, which, invoking American nomenclature, I will call D3 and E5. Please note that these correspond to Ré 2 and Mi 4 in French notation. In this array, the lower boundary note is restated in each chord, independently of the process that generates the rest of the array. This explains the variation from 6 to 7 note chords. While the lower boundary note, D3, is preserved in each chord of the first array, independently of the generative process, example 5 shows how the upper boundary note, E5, is common to old chords because it serves as the anchor note. The registral adjacency series of the initial chord is 7-2-4-9-4. This is counting the semitones between registry adjacent notes in the chord. Each subsequent chord, B through F, contains a subset of this series, keeping E as the upper boundary note, thus reflecting the process of accumulation or dissolution embedded in most of Boulez's applications of rotational arrays. The diagonal arrows on example 6A explicitly show the full spiraling process. It is significant that the remaining notes of the rotational array, the ones that spiral above and beyond the registral boundaries, are inserted within the D3 E5 registral span without regard for pitch space considerations. The result is that each successive chord of the array shares a common pitch space subset, the size of which decreases incrementally until only one anchor note remains. Example 6B also shows that the number of voice crossings that change the registral structure of the array, which Milton Babbitt calls order inversions, increases progressively. These order inversions are shown with curved arrows in the example. The entire process creates a sense of harmonic dispersion within a set registral band with respect to pitch space parameters, despite the fact that the chords are near transpositions of one another in pitch class space. Let's listen. The second array, transcribed in example 7, consists of the first chord plus the chords labeled G to K in the sketch of example 3. In this array, the upper boundary note, E5, reappears independently of the generative process. As shown in example 8, the array spirals in the opposite direction, using D3 as the anchor note. Significantly, three of the chords in the second array are identical to chords in the first array. As example 9 shows, the important distinction between the two arrays is that in the second one, the relative registral displacements, or order inversions, of the notes that spiral off the registral boundaries decrease in the last chord of the sketch, creating less of a sense of progressive harmonic dispersion and more a sense of departure and return. The last chord contains a single displacement arrow, while the brackets emphasize the segmental pitch intervals that are in common with the soccer chord. Let's listen. Ultimately, a passage of music utilizing this array will have embedded within varying references to an underlying harmonic quality, which can be intermittently perceived at key points in the work. Importantly, these examples closely mirror one shown in example 10, found among the Répond sketches as a possible draft for a lecture at the Collège de France. In this array, Boulez uses interval names instead of integers, but the scheme is otherwise identical to the first array I discussed above, with steadily decreasing segmental subsets of a pitch series appearing in each column and each row. Without referring to a specific example, Boulez describes the perceptual effect of such an array in his 1986 essay for the Collège de France. And I will let you read through this quote on your own. Clearly, the importance of a varying perception of harmonic identity, which I deduce from the music and the harmonic principles embedded in this technique, is key to the compositional approach as well. I will now illustrate how Boulez's compositional application of this array creates a background pitch organization. As I mentioned earlier, this background pitch organization demonstrates Boulez's ingenious solution from a harmonic standpoint to the constraints of synchronization between tape, electronics, and live performance that he wished to address at this time point in his career. I will start by presenting an analysis of section 4, which consists of rehearsal numbers 42 to 47 on the score. Section 4 of the piece is labeled in Boulez's sketches as the wallpaper section because pre-recording material, labeled wallpaper, is played continually, simultaneously with the live instruments. Chamon describes it as a passage of homogeneous writing that contrasts with the highly articulated previous sections. Noting that it was the final section of the first version of the piece, Chamon describes a gradual crescendo created through electronic means and chromatic gamuts that fill the space. The homogeneity of the texture results from gradually shifting instrumental colors and harmonies in the background, over which we hear a series of arabesques and trilled notes featuring the piano, with increasing coloration from other solo instruments. Let's listen to an excerpt from this section. The gradual crescendo results as the texture slowly thickens and the pace of exchange and pulsating sounds accelerates throughout the section, reaching a high point about two-thirds of the way through when the brass thickens the texture and enlivens it rhythmically through rapidly repeating notes. Let's listen to this high point. After this, the texture thins out as the brass drops out, and the section ends with a passage of intense exchange between soloists, fading out on a group of trills. Now let us study the way that these musical processes are conceived, creating a sense of harmonic homogeneity that mirrors the textural aspects. The string, brass, and electric organ parts, which present a pulsating background that mirrors the process of growth and retraction from the soloist throughout section four, play chords derived from the second array discussed above in retrograde. These are chords G through K. Example 11 presents the sketch for the instrumental chords. Crucially, one or two notes are added to each chord so that they are actually eight-note chords. And in each case, the notes that are added, boxed in the example, are pitches from the registrally fixed soccer chord. As a result, all chords played by these instruments throughout this section share at least four notes with a soccer chord, and most chords share five out of six. These chords appear at an extremely slow harmonic rhythm, moving at the rate of one chord per rehearsal number to make up the scheme shown in example 12. The progression from chord to chord is gradual, with notes from the ensuing chord appearing one at a time, subtly infiltrating the texture, a process that enhances the continuity of sound while contributing to the trajectories of emergence and dispersion that are so important to the conception of this passage. The technical manual for the piece indicates that the soloist enters successively, as shown in example 13. It also states that each soloist should start a copy of the wallpaper or tape part upon entry. This copy of the wallpaper sounds through each soloist's assigned speaker, is manipulated timbrally through overtone filters, and is modulated to match their dynamic level. The version of the wallpaper contained in Gerzo's 2016 technical manual consists of a pass through the six chords of the first array, followed by a return to the soccer chord at the end. The version actually of the sketch of an earlier version is more complex than that. Example 14 presents the opening of the tape part, including the first two chords of the array. So for example, under the box labeled 1, we have the six frequencies of the notes corresponding to the soccer chord. Under the chord labeled 10, we have the notes of the second chord. As the example shows, after it appears, each chord is gradually liquidated so that only D3 and E5 remain. In each successive stage, 2 to 5, one of these notes disappears until only the boundary notes are left sounding. Then, in stages 6 to 10, the notes of the following chord appear one at a time. After the subsequent chord is complete, it immediately starts to liquidate, and the process repeats while D3 and E5 are held throughout. Phase shifting is created by the staggered renderings of the wallpaper, which accompany the entrance of each soloist, and the instruction that the wallpaper repeats should it complete before the end of the section. This creates a process of ebb and flow away from and back to the soccer chord, which is in the background throughout. The fact that the volume of the tape sound is determined by the volume of the soloist is a final component of these processes of ebb and flow that underlie the perception of this section. Boulez describes how the phase shifts and overtone distortions contribute to this. I will let you read his quote. As the discussion has shown, this entire section, in fact, presents a perfect example of the principle that I have used to describe the harmonic language Boulez developed in the late 1950s and kept till the end of his career. I have posited that Boulez's music often features passages with large levels of harmonic consistency, which alternate with others where harmonic consistency is purposefully thwarted. Harmonic consistency is created by the use of chords that contain large common subsets embellished by other notes. In this case, the entirety of section 4 functions as a large composing out of the soccer chord, which ebbs and flows throughout the section, shining through with greater or lesser clarity at different points. This effect is achieved by the interaction of all elements, the electronic manipulations and phasing, the combination of arrays that he uses, the common chords between the two arrays, the harmonic structure of the arrays themselves, the gradual buildup of chords in the tape part and the gradual dissolution and overlap between successive chords in the instrumental part. Crucially, these elements do not require precise synchronization. As example 15 illustrates, the soloist's flourishes are also derived from these chords and support this conceptualization of the harmonic content. Throughout the section, each flourish is generated by the array chord that is sounding concurrently in the other instruments, combined with a transposition. In the case of example 15, the sounding chord is K, since the passage occurs shortly after rehearsal number 42. The transpositions throughout the entire section are defined through a different pitch series form, B flat 4, C5, F5, G5, B5. This series is a five-note pitch class subset of the famous Répond chord, which dominates the structure of the first two sections of the piece. These notes serve as anchor notes and function as the high point of the flourishes and as the sustained trill notes throughout the section. Let me explain the process. As shown in example 15, chord K and its transposition, built below anchor note B5, provide the notes for the initial flourish in the piano. Note how each note of the first flourish draws from one of these two chords. The B5 anchor note is trilled. Likewise, chord K and another transposition, now under anchor note C5, provide the reservoir of notes for the second flourish, and the anchor note C5 is trilled. In the same way, each instrumental flourish throughout contains the notes of the chord that is sounding in the background, plus added notes derived from the same pattern of transpositions. Hence, the soloist's music also embodies the harmonic principle described above, a level of consistency created through the incorporation of large common subsets embellished by other notes. The solo both reinforces the harmonies that are sounding in the other instruments and embellish them through higher register notes. Simultaneously, the prominent anchor notes are recalling harmonic structures that are significant to other sections of the piece, creating a rhizomatic network of relationships at a larger scale. This harmonic conception reminds me of a quote from Boulez, which refers to the influential work of Alexander Calder. As Boulez noted, and again I'll let you read through his quote, and let me play this excerpt of the film for you. The music, by the way, for this film is by John Cage. Shown how the interaction of fixed form and aleatory elements in this section, enabled by the harmonic conception, permits the incorporation of a taped part that does not constrain the energy of the live performance. The concurrent overlapping processes of gradual ebb and flow over an underlying harmonic basis do not require precise synchronization. The success of Répond, in terms of its influence on current approaches to composition, can be partially attributed to its energy, which allowed Boulez to harness the power of the electronic medium without constraining the vitality of the performance, an element that he considered essential to the process of making music and an interesting reflection in the context of music today. Let me now briefly address some key aspects of the larger form of this work by discussing the material from section 5. As I mentioned earlier, this section was added in the second version of the work. Highly contrasting from a textural and rhythmic standpoint, it is in fact based on the same materials from section 4, configured in radically different ways. The section is antiphonal rather than homogeneous, featuring an alternation of highly rhythmic or striated passages for the soloist with eerie chordal textures in the strings, which gain in length throughout the section. Let's listen to an excerpt. Thank you. increasing number of electronic manipulations of the sound occur throughout the section to enhance the respective qualities of the other compositional processes. The overall effect is a gradual loss of momentum as the active rhythmic interventions in the soloist shorten while the harmonic string interjections lengthen. This process reaches its maximum point with the static quality of rehearsal 52 before gradually lengthening snippets and increasing rapid exchanges of materials build up to prepare for the next section. This is the nadir point of the piece. In the background, section 5 is based on a retrograde reworking of the material for section 4. The sustained string and brass chords are the same that appeared in the ensemble parts in the previous section in retrograde. The harmonic process culminates at the low point of momentum with the presentation of the soccer chord with an added B flat at rehearsal number 52. This was a passage we just heard. Oh, actually, I didn't play that for you. Sorry. The gradually lengthening passage of string interjections consists of pitch space transpositions of these same chords, increasingly altered with notes that anticipate the registral disposition of the ensuing chord. As example 16 shows, the palindromic relationship between the two sections is bolstered by the comments on which instruments should be emphasized throughout these two sections. Crucially, the material for the soloist, strongly contrasting in terms of rhythm and contour, is derived from similar processes and harmonic content that operated in the previous section, but in a way that emphasizes the notes that are complementary rather than overlapping with those that are sounding in the background. Because of time constraints, I will not discuss this passage in detail at this time, but the main gist is that the pitch processes complement the sense of dispersion embedded in the electronic manipulations and textural aspects. Now let me pose some preliminary ideas about how these sections fit within the overall formal structure of the piece. As Boulez states, the piece is structured by sections that are based on different materials. You can read through this quote here. In this analysis, we saw how the two adjacent sections are based on the same harmonic materials and how both invoke a series form that relates to the opening of the work. This resonates with aspects of how Boulez conceived of the spiral form as the underlying basis for Répond. In this respect, he states, and please read through this quote, "My analysis indicates that each section of the piece corresponds to one complete turn within the spiral, with connections to what preceded and what follows, but with only tenuous links to sections that are at a larger distance. It is in this way that the material revolves around itself. At the same time, the form of the piece is characterized by paths of momentum within each section, where each turn around the spiral is defined by a given path. This is the essence behind the formal concept of a spiral, a new but intensified cycling through materials that are related at a deep level. The directionality of sections of this work clearly distinguished the aesthetic conception from Boulez's earlier works."
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.